This is Brunch Boxing, and this is Ezra with an Ezra breakdown. But this really isn't going to be an Ezra breakdown, because I don't know how you would break down Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, because I don't think anyone truly knows what's going to happen in the ring. Now, people are saying pretty confidently, like, oh, Jake Paul's going to knock him out. This is an old man, right? And he's going to knock him out. And they could be correct. But no one truly knows what Tyson's going to look like when he gets in the ring. And everyone saying this is just assuming that Tyson's just going to look awful when he gets in the ring. He's going to be slow. He's going to have no reaction, no speed. And he's not going. And he's just going to look like an old man in there. And any of these guys that are saying this, if you told them, well, no, what if they say Tyson doesn't look too bad in there? He has some speed. He has some balance. He's going to be able to go all the rounds. Well, I know that their opinions will change really quick, right? Because no one thinks like, oh, Jake Paul beats a 40-year-old Mike Tyson. No one thinks that. No one thinks that he beats a 45-year-old Mike Tyson. And hell, I would think some people don't think he beats a 50-year-old Mike Tyson. But a 58-year-old Mike Tyson, they just don't know what it is. So they're just assuming this is going to look like an old man in the ring. I don't know that. I don't know that whether that's the case or isn't the case. We also, one thing we don't know is that Jake Paul has never been hit by a man his size in the boxing ring. Not once. He has never been hit by a man his size in the boxing ring. See, the thing with Jake Paul, and it comes to boxing, is he's a magician. And when I say that, I'm not saying, oh, he performs magic, or he's a magical guy, or he's doing magical things in the ring. That's not what I mean when I say he's a magician. A magician's job is to perform tricks. He's there to trick you. He's there to deceive you. To the point to where you think that there might actually be magic being done here. That's what Jake Paul is. He's a magician when it comes to boxing. He started, right, by fighting a guy that was a professional athlete. Right? You fought a guy that's a basketball player. And people said, well, that guy's too athletic. Like, he's going to pick up boxing way faster than Jake Paul. And Jake Paul knocked him out. Then they go and they started getting MMA guys, right? Got Ben Askren. And Ben Askren, people just said, oh, well, he's too tough. He's got a tough mentality. He's a high-level wrestler. He's an MMA fighter. There's no way that Jake Paul could fight this guy. This guy's just a natural winner. That's what people can say. He was a natural winner. And he fought a guy that never uses his hands in MMA, which is a grappler, and he knocked him out cold. Now, I want people to remember that I was for these things to happen because I thought it was a valuable lesson to the audience who had completely gone naive, especially MMA fans, on if these guys could compete in boxing. So I thought that Jake Paul going and continuing these tricks while he just kept fighting MMA guys who had highlights. So he started getting improving the MMA guys stand up, right? And they had highlights, right, that they were punchers. And then he would just beat them with the most basic boxing you can beat someone with. I thought it was a good lesson in boxing as far as showing MMA guys that there was a huge gap. That the gap was so wide that we could send you a guy that was a YouTuber who's one of the lowest level guys you could watch on TV as a main event, and he would beat every one of you guys. And that's what he did. So he went on and he fought them and knocked them out and then beat them. And then he would fight guys that were, like I said, MMA fighters or guys that were older or guys that everyone that was smaller than him. And it did prove a point, but also there were tricks to it, right? There were things there to guarantee that the odds were in his favor. And the one point when he didn't do this and he fought a guy that was a guy that did focus on boxing, was a guy that had some training, had some knowledge, and had some experience as a pro fighter, was Tommy Fury. Now, Tommy Fury is not a high-level fighter. And by any means, no one is going to tell you Tommy Fury is going to be a guy that contends for a bout, is going to be a guy in the top 15 of the rankings, is a contender, or even a journeyman. But Tommy Fury was not a guy that was uncomfortable getting punched at. And what happened is Jake Paul lost that fight clearly. Now, he did hurt Tommy in that fight, but he lost the fight clearly. As soon as he faced a guy that was just had some comfort in the ring, you really saw his limitations. Now, after that, he goes on to knock some other guys out that were, you know, like some club fighters and stuff like that. And no disrespect to Jake Paul, because I've been saying how much I respect it, because I don't think he's, like I said, a future world champ or anything like that. But I do admit that he took the time to improve his game. He is dedicated to the sport. He takes the sport seriously. That I'm not speaking against that, because that is what he does. But there have been tricks to a lot of his victories. There have been some deceptions to a lot of his victories. It was genius marketing. It's genius game planning. But just the one time it was serious and legit, he lost. And the thing about Tyson is he's not going to be panicking about getting punched in. He is not a guy that's going to be uncomfortable in that ring. He's very familiar with that ring. And if he gets in a rhythm, right, and he sees that, you know, this whole thing with Jake Paul, he makes mistakes that amateurs make. He makes mistakes that guys that are, you know, just learning boxing make. And I'm able to land these shots when I push him back. Well, I mean, it could get very ugly very quick. So to me, the point of Jake Paul is like, he needs Mike Tyson to be old, which Mike Tyson is going to be old, but he needs him to be really old. He needs him not to have legs. He needs him not to have balance. Because if Mike Tyson has legs and balance just for the first half of the fight, it's going to look bad for Jake Paul. Okay? He needs what Evander looked like against Vitor Belfort, where he just literally does not have balance anymore. And that does happen to people. Like, their legs just literally do not work anymore. The problem is with Tyson is he didn't have, like, an Evander-like career. And Tyson, I don't think, has that much wear and tear on him as a lot of fighters do. And he took a lot of breaks. And a lot of the reason why, like, Tyson's decline was, like, because of his addictions and his life habits. But it wasn't because he was taking a lot of beatings. This is the honest truth. Like, he did take the beating from Lennox, right? But the ones after that, it was just, like, kind of seemed like Tyson just didn't want to be there. And I am looking at, like, the Roy Jones fight that happened, and I thought Tyson kind of let up on Roy Jones. I thought he could have beat Roy Jones way worse, but he's just like, Roy Jones is my guy. You know what I mean? We're making money. People are just happy to see us in the ring. That is what it is. I don't think he has that mentality for this fight. And as you've seen that he slapped Jake Paul today, I think that Tyson kind of kept it together this whole time because he couldn't believe someone was paying him this much money to fight this guy. And I don't think he wanted to mess it up. And I think that Tyson is motivated for this fight. He does not want to get embarrassed. This is a guy that's not going in there to just have a smile on his face and lose to Jake Paul. No, I think that this is a Tyson that still has pride. And is thinking that this is a complete joke that someone thinks that this guy is a danger to me. Even at this age. I'm picking Mike Tyson. Like I said, though, I don't really know what it's going to look like. So if I'm way off on here and Tyson looks old and gets knocked out, well, then that is what it is, right? Because I'm saying to you right now, it's really hard to know what's going to look like. But I'm going to say, from what I saw just in the slap and in the motion for expecting a response from Jake and just the little things of him in the pads, I just remember Mike Perry getting Jake uncomfortable when he got pushed back. And I just remember that a guy like Tommy Fury, with just the most basic ideas of boxing, really stopping everything Jake Paul had planned and could do. Look, I have some boxing experience myself. I'm not a guy that could be fooled by, like, sparring. I'm not a guy that could be fooled by stuff in the gym, by hitting the pads and everything like that. I'm not, like, and I'm saying Jake Paul is an all right guy. He's an all right fighter. He has some ability more than, like, the normal guy. But he has a lot of big mistakes that he makes. Like, he makes a lot of big mistakes that, like, amateurs would make. The guys who are new to the sport would make. And I think that Tyson has abilities to just a little bit of balance. Just a little bit of explosiveness. I mean, he's really going to expose those things. One interesting thing that I think that could happen after this fight, if Jake wins, is I think the Canelo fight's a real possibility. And I think Canelo has shown nothing but signs that he is not looking for a legit opponent. We've been through this over 1,000 times. I'm not going to keep talking on that. But I do think that that fight would make a lot of money. I think Netflix would pay a lot of money for it, as they're paying a lot of money for this fight. They're going to get Super Bowl numbers, like, for this fight. They will get massive, massive numbers for a Jake Paul versus Canelo fight. Especially if Jake Paul stops Tyson. Because you were going to get a whole group of people, right, they want to see Jake Paul lose at that point. And they don't care that Canelo's not fighting someone for real. They just want to see Canelo put a beating on Jake Paul. Okay, that's really what the thing is. So if there was a thing to make that fight possibility, this is it. If Jake Paul knocks out Mike Tyson, Canelo is a real, real option in the real, real near future. So that is something to pay attention to. Now, I think if Tyson knocks out Jake Paul, I think we're probably done with this whole Jake Paul experiment. But I gotta credit Jake Paul. What a way to go out. No one would have ever guessed from the start of this, everything we've seen, that this is what it is. That this is guy, he deserves a lot of credit. I know a lot of people were critical because he got in Marabar's face and Shushu, but you know, that's on them. You get a part of the circus and you don't expect to see some clowns, that's on you. Right. But I mean, the navigating to get to this point, it's been pretty, you know, it's been pretty well done, pretty genius. Okay. And if he navigates himself to a Canelo fight, I don't care. I don't care. It's not just because he's Jake Paul, okay? It's not just because of that. There were some maneuvers that had to be made. There were some fights that had to be won. There were some performances that had to look a certain way. And if he pulled all that off to get in the ring with Canelo, from starting on YouTube to starting to box his local YouTuber guys, and then MMA fighters and that, to get all the way to Canelo, it deserves credit. I'm not saying he did it by skill-wise. I'm saying he did it by because he deserved to be there as far as in-ring ability. But marketing and business-wise, there's some genius maneuvers there, okay? There's some genius maneuvers there. So you got to respect it, right? You can't just call nonsense or I'm not going to watch it. Like, it is what it is, right? You got to respect what it is. Now, on the undercard, fights I want you to pay attention to. Co-main event. The last time was the best women's boxing fight of all time. There's a good chance this really delivers. One thing I'll say is women's boxing, when you got the two best of the best, it usually always delivers. Usually always delivers. And this is probably going to deliver again. Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano. Katie Taylor, to me, is the best women's boxer of all time. I know that's going to be the argument with Clarissa Shields and stuff like that, but I just think that Katie Taylor, at the lower weights, is facing better competition. And she's been pretty damn good in rematches. And I think that she's going to adjust her style after seeing Serrano to take control of this fight. But the one thing is, in Serrano's favor, is Serrano punched herself out the last time, going for the stoppage. I don't think she'll make that mistake this time. And her pressure was giving Taylor trouble. Her pressure was giving Taylor trouble. And I think if she gets Taylor in a situation and she doesn't punch herself out, she won't get burned out like she did last time in the late rounds. I'm still going to pick Taylor off the Chantel Cameron performances because those were damn good performances against damn good fighter. And Amanda Serrano, I think to me, you know, who would look good against like, you know, lower fighters that she's been fighting. And then the Cruz fight like was a little bit more shaky, a little more damage on her. I think Taylor's going to pull this one out, but I'm going to bet this fight delivers. I'm going to bet this is probably the best fight of the card. Now, another fight that's going to be sneaky good on this card, Abel Ramos versus Mario Barrios, WBC bout. Mario Barrios is kind of like a, you know, it's a little bit of a fortunate fight for him, right? Because Abel Ramos is not a top contender, but Abel Ramos can crack. Like, he can punch. And he's been in tough with guys like Ugas, right? Like, he's been in tough with some guys. And he's had some good wins. And you know, he hasn't taken, like, a really, really bad beating. But I do think that there's a chance that he just kind of, you know, in his mind, he might think, like, you know, I'm kind of at the end of my career here. And if this performance kind of goes south, usually at this point, it goes really south for a guy. Now, like I said, though, he hits really hard. I'm not the highest on Mario Barrios, but he has abilities. He has abilities, and he can crack as well. And I think that he's in his prime right now, while Abel Ramos is probably stepping out of his, right? A little past his. I think there's some power in this fight. I think there's, you know, Mario Barrios makes fights a little bit harder for himself. He actually gets stuck at a certain range sometimes, and that's going to help Abel Ramos, because he'll at least have the space he needs to land a big shot. I'm going to pick Mario Barrios here. I think he'll get a late stoppage in this fight. I think he'll break down Abel Ramos, but there might be some interesting exchanges. There might be both guys hurt in this fight. Wouldn't that be a surprise? And Mario Barrios is a guy to watch because he might be an opponent for Boots or Stanley Onis, right? Or even Brian Norman. He's probably, to me, like, him and Boots are like the biggest name in this division. So he's the guy to pay attention to, especially if you're new to boxing or you're just going to watch this card and never seen him before. He's the guy to pay attention to in this fight. We always ask, me and Matt always ask each other, what's better for boxing? Mario Barrios winning this fight is better for boxing. 100%. Mario Barrios winning this fight is better for boxing. Thank you guys for listening. Please tune in every Saturday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern on Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it. On Spaces, we do Brunch Boxing. Right after we do that, we record it and post it on Spotify. Please leave us a review, 5 stars. And yeah, please follow us on X, Twitter, whatever, and just keep following the show. We appreciate the support. Peace.